Our lesson today will be drawn from Acts 26 through 28, so you might want to turn there and follow as we look at Paul's journey. You know, one of the things I just read this week that sort of hit home to me was a statement my good friend Lindsey Garman made in a book I'm reading and studying. And in that statement, Lindsey made the observation, there are three kinds of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Think about that. What kind of person are you? Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who wonder what happened. I think this comes home to us in the kind of thing that all of us have become acquainted with. What do you do when you have a problem that's bigger than you are? You say, oh, there's no problem bigger than I am. Oh, really? And what kind of fantasy world are you living in? There's a lot of things that happen in life that are bigger than we are, right? If the pandemic hasn't shown us anything else, it has shown us that. There's a promise given to us as Christians in Romans 8:28. It's a promise that when I was younger, I found hard to believe. That passage says, we know that in everything God works with those who love him to bring about what is good and who are called in accordance with God's purpose. That's hard to believe. I mean, stuff has happened to me that I don't like, that was destructive. They were part of God's purpose. How was my wife dying part of God's purpose? And you can think of things that have happened in your life. I just lost my brother. How is that in God's purpose? Lost him in the middle of trying to teach him more about making his life count. That selfishness and greed is not a way to happiness. I just needed a little more time. It's hard. We pray about it. We understand that God does not always act the way we want him to. The COVID-19 thing has brought some strange responses from Christians. Don't expect immunity from problems just because you're a Christian. Paul didn't. Remember the passage in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 7? And so to keep me from being unduly elated, another passage says, or translation says, arrogant, there was given to me a sharp pain in my body, a thorn in the flesh, which came as Satan's messenger to bruise me. Three times I begged the Lord, leave me alone. We don't have immunity from problems. How many times have you begged God for something you didn't want to happen and it still happened? The life of Paul is a good template as to how we should respond to struggles in life. We could pick many things that happened in Paul's life, but I think Acts 27 through 28 is a good example and some things there that may be helpful to us in dealing with the struggles of life. Let me just point out a couple of things to you as we think about Paul's life. You remember what happened here? He's on his way to Rome. Not an easy trip. But Paul did not resist the dictates of civil government. This is another one of those things that challenges us today. In Acts 26 and verse 32, we read that the politics of the government were used to get Paul to Rome. Paul was before a court. What response could he have made to that court decree? Well, he could have run. I was talking to a friend of mine in California who's a police officer, and he said almost half of the people that they bring up for trial run. They never get to trial because they run. Some of us are old enough to remember people running to avoid being inducted into military service during the Vietnam situation. Paul could have run. Paul could have made an appeal. We have not resisted our government dictating how we should meet as a body. When you look up there and you see Bill Solomon on our Zoom and others, we didn't need to do that. There were some religious people who thought, well, I'm going to let God take care of it. And so they continued to meet, even though the government was saying, you shouldn't. Sort of reminds me of the story about the guy that was being flooded, and he was sitting on his roof, and he was praying to God, God, send somebody to rescue me. And a helicopter shows up, and the man says to God, "No, I don't need you. God's going to rescue me." And then somebody showed up in a motorboat, and he said the same thing. Somebody with a canoe, and he said the same thing, and then he drowned. And he was mad at God. And God says, "Well, I sent a helicopter and a motorboat and a canoe." And we laugh at that, but don't we do the same thing? God has given us the ability to obey the dictates of civil government. That's not a violation of God's commands. Paul didn't. In Romans 13, beginning with verse 1, the writer says, "Let everyone obey government that is over him. For no authority exists except for the will of God, and the existing authorities have been established by him. So anyone who resists authority sets himself in opposition to what God has ordained." You ever struggle with that passage? Do you ever say, well, the Republicans or the Democrats or the Dixiecrats or whoever's in power at the time, they're making laws that I don't agree with. I'm not going to obey. Really? How about that passage in reference to the Roman government? Do you realize what the Roman government was endorsing? They didn't have abortion at that time. Instead, they took a live baby that had just been born, and if they didn't want it, they threw it out in the street. There was a pickup outfit in the Roman government that picked up babies that had been thrown in the trash, alive. That was a government dictate. Prostitution was endorsed by the government. Well, you can read through the horrendous acts of government, and yet we read this passage in Romans 13 that says, no authority exists except by the will of God. God takes even the worst of things that can happen and makes good come from them. And if you've got your mind awake right now, I don't care what political party you're a part of. Both political parties are saying things that are and doing things that are diametrically opposed to God's will. That's just like Rome. But Paul did not resist the dictates of civil government, and neither should we. As long as it does not put us in contradiction to God's commands. And Paul accepted the help of unbelievers. I got a nasty phone call some time ago from a person who claimed to be a Christian who was criticizing the fact that we use Feeding America, that we accept help from the Cass County Motorcycle Club, that we depend upon the Lions Club to help us with people who have visual problems, that we allow our neighbors. And I'm so proud of this congregation. We have a great relationship with the people behind us and across the street and next door. Every time we get involved in a project, some of them show up and help. We've had sacks of groceries left on our porch back here to help us in our feeding projects. And this guy was criticizing that. He said, well, the church needs to help church people and use the church people to help get all the stuff. We don't need any help from anybody else. Really? So how many people are you helping, sir? And he hung up. And Richard will tell you that the number of families we're helping is in the ballpark of 100, sometimes over. So what did Paul do? Well, in Acts 28, as Paul is on his way to Rome, he gets involved in a shipwreck on the island of Malta. At that time, there was no congregation of believers on Malta. And we're told that the ship crashed on the land of a man by the name of Publius, a chief man of Malta, 28:7. And Paul was there 3 days. This is a pagan. This isn't a believer. A devout Jew would not have even done that. The food, I'm sure, was not kosher. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 27, if a pagan asks you to dinner and you consent to go, feel free to eat whatever is set before you. And don't ask questions or let your conscience bother you. You ever been to the home of an unbeliever who served something that you just really were, I was invited one time to go to the home of a Muslim family. And they were serving a Muslim meal. And the guest was given the most selected part of the food, and it was the eye of the sheep. And I was to eat the eye of the sheep. I was really working hard not to throw up. But I ate it. There have been times when I have eaten other things in trying to influence people or at least not let my prejudices interfere with helping them. See, Romans 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God, that's the church, for the kingdom of God does not consist in meat and drink, but of righteousness and peace and gladness to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Should we accept help from Feeding America? You bet. I'm in dialogue right now with one of the guys that came with Feeding America when they were unloading food back here. I don't know whether I'll be able to make headway with him, but we are discussing the question of worship. How about our neighbors? I've had talks with a guy back here. We share having a child that is mentally challenged. We've developed a good relationship. We've had a good relationship with the school system. Tracy has done a marvelous job of making contact with the school system and our Coats for Kids program. Even though a number of other religious groups are doing that now, so we're not as heavily as involved as we were. Those are things that follow the example of Paul. May I also point out to you that Paul accepted help from believers. And I'm sort of preaching this lesson to myself. Cindy will tell you I don't like to be dependent on anybody else. I don't know why. I'm so inadequate, you would think I would learn by that. But when Paul finally arrives in the Italian peninsula, he arrives at a place called Puteoli. I'm sure Richard can tell me a better pronunciation of that town. It's in the Bible. This is a suburb of Rome. And in Acts 28, beginning with verse 13, he stays with Christians for a week. And I think the Bible indicates that the people at Puteoli had known about Paul because of his plans to go to Spain. But Paul was in need. I don't know if you realize it or not, but every time somebody is in prison with the Romans, every time Paul was in prison with the Roman government did not feed him any more than water and rice. If there was going to be food, it was provided by friends, by his own money. The Roman government didn't pay for expenses. Something like soap was a rare commodity. Clothing was hard to come by. If you've seen pictures of Roman prisoners, they're wearing rags. Why? Because whatever they were arrested in clothing-wise was what they had, and that was it, unless family offered clothing or unless they bought clothing. You remember what happened when the church started meeting in Acts, the second chapter? The Bible says in verses 44 and 45, all the faithful held together and shared all they had. We need to accept and give help to brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm involved in a program called Hands of Compassion in Rochester, Minnesota. My good friend Steve Sykes is the one running that program. And what it does is people that come to the Mayo Clinic for cancer treatments have a place to stay free of charge with Christians. We have provided transportation for people to doctor's appointments. That's a good thing to do. Right now, there's a growing pile of peanut butter and jelly out on the pew out in the lobby. Why? Because we're trying to help Schultz Lewis with their ministry to people that have mental difficulties, young people who don't have homes. We just got another thank you note from the Hope Prison Ministry, something we're very actively involved in, teaching people who are incarcerated. We don't have the ability as individuals to do some of these things, but we have the ability to help. And Paul demonstrated that in his stay in Rome. We can support anything we deem to be worthy. Paul had help read Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 14 through verse 18. And look at all the things that happened with Paul that allowed him to do what he did. May I call your attention as a part of this discussion that Paul accepted his circumstances in life? Just ahead of that passage in Philippians, starting with verse 11, Paul says, I have learned how to be content with the condition I am in. Have you learned how to be content? You know, being content is a skill. It's so easy to look around us and see people with more than we got. All you got to do is look out the back window here and you'll see boats next parked next door. All you got to do as you leave here today is watch the highway and see cars with trailers that's got stuff on it that cost more than my house. I have learned, Paul says, to be content with the condition I am. I know how to live with things that are difficult, and I know how to live in abundance. I have learned the secret of facing the human lot with its ups and downs. Almost everybody in this room has got a health issue right now. I mean, I could go around here and point to most of you and say, yeah, I know you're struggling with blood pressure. I don't like high blood pressure. Actually, the blood pressure doesn't bother me. It's the stupid meds and their side effects that bother me. I hear about what Richard has struggled with. I read about Bill and the struggles he's having with his heart issues. I mean, I could go right down the list. I have learned the secret of facing the human lot with its ups and downs. Yeah, that's part of life, folks. That's part of life. But then the rest of that passage gives us the key. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm not going to let blood pressure get me down. I'm not going to let the side effects of those meds, even though they knock me out occasionally, interfere with my attempts to serve God, and neither should you. You know, when you read about Paul's experiences, it's just hard to comprehend that he wouldn't have just said, I've had it, this is enough. Listen to this. I'm reading 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11. Starting with verse 20. For if you suffer, if a man brings you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself over you, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes. Can you imagine that? 5 times he was beaten over 40 times. And folks, that was not just like my dad taking his belt and whipping me. These were stripes that consisted of broken glass embedded in leather stripes. I mean, it ripped the skin off your back. He had that 5 times. You know, about halfway through the first time, I'd have been saying, I give up, quit. 3 times I was beaten with rods. That's in addition to being flogged. I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in peril of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city. We were talking about Riley High School before services today. I was a teacher there for 41 years. We were talking about George McCullough, the principal. In perils in the city, yeah. and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watching often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings and cold and nakedness, beside these things that are without, which come upon me daily, the care of the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I don't burn. I must needs give glory. I glory of all things which concern my infirmities. The Lord God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I don't lie. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You know, I read that passage and I say, Paul, you idiot, why did you put up with that? Paul accepted his circumstances in life. He had learned to be content. And I whine when I get a nasty phone call from somebody. What have I got to complain about? I have learned to be content. We all went through 2020, didn't we? The COVID thing, if it didn't hit us individually, still hit us. Every week I go and visit my son, who is in a nursing facility, because what little he had has been taken away from him by COVID. Before COVID, he was blind, he was mentally challenged. He had cerebral palsy and muscular dystrophy. Now he can't even get out of bed. He can't even talk. We all went through 2020. That's my sad story, but you've got one too, don't you? I have learned how to be content. But let me point out one of the things that kept Paul going and one of the things that should keep you going. And that is that Paul had accepted the fact of death. You know, one of the things that is always in my mind is the fact that this is the worst I'm ever going to have to put up with. Yeah, I've had stuff I don't like. Yeah, I don't have a lot of money. Yeah, my health has been precarious recently, especially. Yeah, I've had people let me down. Yeah, I've lost family. I lost all my brothers, and they were all younger than I was. I lost a wife. Yeah, I've lost. But this is the worst I'm ever going to have to endure. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, my life is ebbing out. The hour of my departure is upon me. Yeah. He goes on and says, I am ready to be offered. See, the help of God, among other things, is to help us face death. You're going to die. Will we accept God's help in dying? And God didn't stop Paul from dying. He's not going to stop you from dying. And quite frankly, at this stage of my life, I don't want to be stopped from dying. I haven't had anywhere near what Paul had, but I've had enough pain, I'm not really wanting any more. Will we accept God's help? Because that's what Paul had. He goes on and he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, and now the prize awaits me, the garland of righteousness, which the Lord righteous judge will give me. And not just to me alone, but to all who love the thought of his appearing. Have you got the thought of his appearing? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Are you ready? Why would you refuse God's help? confessing death. God gives us the ability to change the world. There are those who make things happen. That's what we're about. We make things happen. We bring food to people around us. We bring clothing to kids who don't have coats. We try and encourage. We try to support. We try to make things happen. And there are people who just watch, who aren't involved. And there are people, many of them driving down the road right now out there, who will wonder what happened when no longer do they have the health and the strength to enjoy the pleasures of life. Are you ready? Have you accepted your circumstances in life? Will you accept the help from believers? We can assist you in our obedience to Christ. And are you willing to serve with the dictates of the culture in which we live? Why would you refuse God? Listen to the lyrics of the song we're going to sing together as we close this lesson. Let's sing together.